last Sunday evening, and it's Tuesday morning now, I preached on Romans 8:18 through 27, a sermon I called Groans, Groans, and Super Groans. And the groans, the first groans was the groans of creation caused by all the pains and sufferings caused by sin. The second groans, in some sense the same, but were the groans of Christians who also suffer the same pains, and yet they are suffering them intelligently because they are born again. They've said, Abba, Father, and they're yearning and longing for something better. And then the third super groans are the groans of the Holy Spirit, who intercedes for us with groans beyond uttering, because he's able to speak to God on our behalf. And so that's in a nutshell, a short version for those who won't listen to my audio tape of my sermon of last Sunday evening sermon. And this Sunday evening, I will be preaching on, I believe so, Lord willing, Romans 8:28 and 29, which are, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, that's referring to Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:28 and 29. Oh, what wonderful verses these are. Everybody loves Romans 8:28. Here it says, and we know, it's something that Christians know and should know, that all things work together for good. Now, all things work together to good, some will limit this, and I think rightly so, to the context of this passage, which is mostly talking about sufferings and trials, and it's obviously we have to be told that sufferings and trials work for the good of believers, because those are the ones who love God. Not to everybody, but to believers. But I think all things doesn't necessarily limit us to just sufferings. Everything that happens in a believer's life, whether it's good or evil, whether it's a happy thing or a sad thing, is all part of God's mix in our life to draw us closer to Christ, to make us more like him. And so all things includes, yes, it includes the sufferings, but it also includes our joys. Paul certainly had both of those. Yes, he was stoned and shipwrecked and beaten with rods and all these kind of things that happened to him. But then that one time, after he had been beaten, he was thrown into prison and in chains. And he and Silas were just singing hymns at midnight, having a good old time. And then there's an earthquake, and he had the joy of leading his own jailer to the Lord, and also the jailer's family. So there were joys in there, and those things work together for good too. Now you could ask, what is the good that they work to? And I used to know a man who said, you know, this means the Christians are going to be winning the lottery every day. He really said that. In the millennium, that is. Not necessarily now, but in the millennium, they will be winning the lottery. And the good that he saw was money. The same man said Stephen should have prayed that the stones would have turned back on the people who threw them. And it was a lack of faith. And eventually this man, he actually went to a church in the town where he had done some work as a handyman, and sat in the back row and grabbed the offering plate because God had told him it was his. He was in the newspaper for that. That's not the good. God can bless us with money. I believe he does if we seek first his kingdom. He adds all that we need. But that's not the good that is talked about here. The ultimate good is that we would be like Jesus. The groans and the super groans, the help of the Spirit in helping us to pray, our love for Him, is combined with all the providence of God, every good thing, every evil thing, every hard thing that we go through is meant to make us as Christians more like Jesus Christ. We are predestined to that. That is God's goal. That is the highest thing that we can ever dream or desire as believers, is to be more and more like Jesus. That is our desire. That is our prayer. That is worth every pain we might go through in this life. That's why Paul says, way back in verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The sufferings of this present time, they are nothing if one day we are like Jesus. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you. I pray that you'd help me during this week. I pray whoever might watch this will pray for me when I actually do preach on Romans 8, 28 and 29. I pray that somebody will be blessed by this, that it might be an encouragement to them, that they would desire to be more like Jesus, and that they would even rejoice in sufferings like James told us. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith works patience. Let's have that same attitude. Let's put our trials in the all joy category, not because they're joyful in and of themselves, but because they can make us more like your Son, our Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.